There we go. All right, excellent. Today, because I haven't done it for some time, I want to start with a short quiz. All right, great. You all look are eager and ready. And I'm sure you're going to do this, you know, ace this quiz. I know it's a pop quiz, but that's okay. Jesus tells us that there is a top priority, something that is first in the kingdom. What is it? Okay. This is what Jesus says is the first. Well, God, yes, God. Of course, Jesus is God and all this, but yeah, but he, there's something he says. Oh, here, Bobby, do you have it? Yeah, Bobby says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Yeah, and of course, and then your neighbor yourself, that's the first and greatest commandment, the second like unto it. However, and by the way, that is an absolutely excellent answer. However, there is something that Jesus says, this is first. Right, I'll make it a little easier. This is the first thing to seek. Bobby just said that, and we acknowledge that as an excellent answer. However, Jesus says there's something to seek first. His love. Well, yeah. Bobby, once again.
Is it his kingdom?
His kingdom. That's right. Seek first his kingdom. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Who was that? You, Jeannie, or was that? Well, all right, never mind. We'll, there's no prize anyway, so it, all right, so good. Now, I'm hoping you'll remember that.
An old song.
Yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So, and that's Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Now, the prayer book says, our Episcopal Book of Common Prayer says that the duty of all Christians is to work, pray, and give for the spread of the kingdom of God. That's right. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus says it's the first thing that we should be doing. So what I thought we would do for the next couple of weeks is actually look at what the kingdom of God is, since that's what Jesus says is the first thing to seek, and our prayer book says that's our duty to spread that. On Ash Wednesday, last Ash Wednesday, we had two services, one at noon, one in the evening. And at the noon service, Marion and a few others were there. I know Bobby was there and Martha and some others. And Marion asked the question, well, now what is the kingdom of God? Do you remember that? Yeah. Absolutely. And I thought, well, what an excellent question. So, you know, we shared a few things about it then, but I thought that just deserves more. So today I want to look at that. And that specific question, what is the kingdom of God? I thought that would be a good thing to know, since Jesus says that's the first thing to seek. I mean, how do you know that you actually find it once you seek it? You have to know what it is. It's also good to keep in mind all the time. And we're going to see a few dynamics of the kingdom of God here in the story of the Gerasene demoniac who Jesus just delivered from those demons. And so let's dive right into that. The last verse of the gospel today, if you want to look at it in the bulletin, says this, return to your home, declare how much God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. There's a lot about the kingdom of God in there, and what Jesus had done, and how he was set free from darkness and demon possession, returned to his family and his friends. So I thought right off the bat here, I should give you a description of the kingdom of God. And this is what came to my mind after reading up on some and over the years reading and being interested in it. Where the desires of Jesus are received and lived, there is the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's a great question. Libby's asking, does that mean that the kingdom of God might be different for different people? I think generally it would be the same. It would be the desires of Jesus received and lived. That would be the same dynamic all along. But for different individuals, Jesus may have something to do or for you to receive that maybe another person might receive something different. I'll bet you do. This is your last one, by the way, okay?
kind of the way I feel about it, maybe a different track for different people, okay? But if we finally find the kingdom of God, haven't we left this plane that we're in now and gone away?
Yeah, that's a great question. Libby's asking, you know, if you actually find the kingdom of God, does that mean you've gone on? Have you left what we know now? No, you're still in what you know now. But you'll know that too. Yeah. Yeah.
So how do we know we found it?
Well, that's what we're going to be looking at the next few weeks, okay?
I thought we were seeking it our whole lives.
That's an excellent plan. Okay. Libby, could you please write down other questions you have from this point on? And maybe during the week we can chat. That'd be great. That jot that one down too, okay? Thank you. What were we talking about? Oh, never mind. Where the desires of Jesus are received and lived, there is the kingdom of God. Somebody's on the phone over there. Okay.
Here's the answer.
So, our lifestyle is to receive the desires of Jesus and then live them out. That's one of those designer phone cases. Yeah.
It doesn't always work.
I can see that. That's right. Okay. So let's take a look about what this means for the guy who was freed from the demons. You notice in this gospel reading, he was possessed by a large number of demons, legion. It's a huge number of spirits, and they possessed him. And you can see that the possession was true because they put iron chains around him. He could break them. No one could hold him down. Everyone was afraid of him. All of that was going on. He lived out in the tombs, wasn't interested in a house or in anything. And everyone just stayed away. And then what Jesus brought to this situation was authority and power. He had more authority and more power than the demons who possessed this man, than all those demons combined. And that was a great amount of power. I mean, if you can break iron chains and break them, that's a lot of power. And here's Jesus coming along with much more than that. And he had more authority. When he commanded this group of demons, they obeyed. In fact, they kind of begged him, you know, go easy on us, please. You know, that we don't want any more than this. So he brought freedom and healing to this man. Both of those are parts of the kingdom of God. Now, this man had a call on his life. He's set free. And in his right mind, and everybody can see it, and he says to Jesus, you know, I want to stick with you. I want to follow you. I'm going to be with you from here on out. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? No. Go home. Now, I mean, I don't know about you, but my experience is that church leaders, you know, the vestry, other ministry leaders, if something really good happened to somebody and that person came and said, you know, I just want to be with you the whole time, what ministry leader is going to say, oh, no, you can't be with us. Just go home. That's what Jesus did. What's going on with this? I mean, would you elect Jesus to the vestry after he did this? No, we'd be wanting people, bring people in here. So this, I think, is what was going on. Well, let me pose it to you as a question. Which one demonstrated the presence of the kingdom of God? Going with Jesus for this man or going home?
Going home.
Because it was the desire of Jesus that was received and lived. That's where the kingdom of God is. Can you imagine? Here's this man who had been terrorizing that entire county, all the countryside all around, not in his right mind. Everyone's afraid of him. And here he is in his right mind, fully clothed. And his mother and father see coming down the road their son. Their son is restored to them. That restoration is a huge part of the kingdom of God. And that would have happened all around the whole area that knew him. People would have thought, wow, what happened here? And that man would have influenced more people to put their trust in Jesus by going home and showing everyone living in the countryside around that he's now in his right mind than if he had followed Jesus, just been in the band of Jesus that stuck with him. That's why it was the desire of Jesus. That's why it was the presence of the kingdom of God. Now, may I make another direct application to our life together at St. Francis with that? I'll take that as a yes. Let's suppose some of us think, well, this is a great thing to do at St. Francis. It's something we've done before. I've seen it work in other places, and it's just a great idea. And then somebody in the group starts getting an itch. I just feel that the tapping of Jesus' hand on my shoulder to go do that. Seeking first the kingdom of God would be to go do that instead of this idea. Because the kingdom of God is where the desires of Jesus are received and lived. Is everyone okay? Do you follow what I'm saying? Because that's a hard thing to follow. I mean, you know, I've given my whole adult life to leading and being in churches and seeing what we can build up. And hours of ideas, brainstorming, newsprint, writing it down, and all that. And it is very possible that some of that, or maybe a lot of it, would not have been seeking first the kingdom of God. If I'm relying on my own thought process, my own history, my own preferences, the things I would love to see, and disregard that prompting of the Spirit of God to go in this direction, I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God. Which is the first thing I'm supposed to do.
That sounds like it's part of it, though, what you've done.
Yeah. You'll jot that down, won't you? Thank you. All right. Now, I'm not trying to say that it's as black and white as all that. But there is something that we see here in the story of a man who set free by Jesus. Again, you know, it's a great idea for me to go with Jesus now for the rest of my life. And Jesus says, no, go home. And when he did, he was seeking first the kingdom of God. Well, I think you get the idea. That's the first part. What's the desire of Jesus? How can I receive it and live it? That's what it is to seek the kingdom of God. When we desire what Jesus wants us to have and then receive it and live it, things happen in our lives that don't happen otherwise. For example, it is often a first step for someone in the Christian faith to be thinking, well, what is it that I would be helpful for me to believe about Jesus? And I think when we start seeking first the kingdom of God, we get to the point where it is, how can I believe what Jesus believes? That takes us a lot further down the road. How can I believe what Jesus believes about my neighbors? How can I believe what Jesus believes about the way things are going in my life? That's a step down the road of the kingdom of God that is beyond thinking, I believe Jesus is God. I believe Jesus is the Savior. I believe, you know, all the things of the creed that we'll say in just a few minutes. When we ask for power to live in a way that we do what Jesus wants, then we start getting a picture of what that is. We start receiving what that would be like. We start being able to see what steps to take that are the steps that Jesus has in mind. That's what it is to seek first the kingdom of God. We start developing ears to hear what Jesus is saying, you know, those spiritual ears to receive and walk in that. All of that is part of the kingdom of God, which is what we seek first. May I offer just one other challenging thing? It'll be the last one. It is more important to seek first the kingdom of God than to understand what's going on. This man here, this person who was relieved of the demons, when Jesus told him, go home, tell everyone what God has done for you, I'm not so sure he understood that at all, because he wanted to go with Jesus. But he sought first the kingdom and did what Jesus desired. You and I might look at a Bible story and not understand it at all. This gospel reading is an excellent example. And maybe never understand it. Maybe we never catch what's going on. But we can still catch the desires of Jesus and receive them and follow them. It is more important to seek first the kingdom of God. And then, if we don't understand what's going on, that's okay. It was Augustine who said, I believe so that I might understand. It's not the other way around. That's part of what it is to seek first the kingdom of God. It's always about receiving what Jesus wants and living it out in our lives. So that's what I have for you today. I commend that to you. You know, last week we looked at the prayer. I encourage you to pray this prayer. May I be like you? That would be the prayer we pray. You might add to that if you're ready. Lord, help me seek first your kingdom, your desires, so that I might live them out. Just some manner of you praying that, so that you can be following Jesus in the way Jesus directs. So let me leave that with you. And those of you who maybe have some more questions, you can join me and Libby afterwards. And we'll chat some more about it. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, our first desire is your desire. The first steps we want to take are the steps you direct. The first things we want to believe are the things you believe. And the mark we want on our lives is that we are ones who sought first the kingdom of God. And we ask, Lord, that when we pray that in just a few minutes, as we do every week, that we would see more of it than we have ever seen. All for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.